Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from our last session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the people of Iman with the beautiful name Al-Muqsitu. Al-Muqsitu means that it is only Allah who gives justice. Allah is the one who gives justice. In the world that we live in today, you will find that there is an agenda to mislead, to misquote, and to falsify the verses of the Quran, the ayats of the Quran, and especially in reference to women's rights, rights that are given to the women in Islam. And so you will find that a lot of people who have no understanding of the Quran, they don't know Arabic, and of course their hearts are filled with kufr. Their hearts are filled with kufr. It's an agenda. It's an aim to dismantle Islam altogether. But alhamdulillah, the Quran gives an open challenge to all of humanity, be it humans or jinns, to find a single error, mistake in the Quran. It is impossible. And so you will find many people who will say that Islam does not give equal rights to women. And what is the reason for that? And they will point out one verse of Suratul Baqarah. And this ayat is towards the very end pages of Suratul Baqarah. A very famous ayat of the Quran. It is the longest ayat of the Quran. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about accountancy, buying and selling, your transaction, how it must be done. A very beautiful verse of the Quran. It talks about debt. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of Iman some discipline that make sure you get into the habit of writing everything. If you owe someone money, write it down. If there's anything that is important, especially in your business transaction, write it. And also get someone who is there as a witness to what you are doing. So this verse of Suratul Baqarah, it's more to do with your buying and selling and your business transactions. Something that the men are more accustomed to. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ, that get two men who are a witness to what you are writing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you can't find two men, then find one man and two women. Find one man and two women. Now this ayat becomes a thorn for people to swallow. Ah, you see, women are given no rights. Two women equals one man. Two women equals one man. Where does that say two women equals one man? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you can't find two men, then one man and two women. In case if one errs, then the other can remind her. In case if one errs, then the other can remind her. So this does not mean that women are not given any kind of rights. First of all, we need to understand that there are many verses of the Quran which speak about witnesses and to have witnesses there. So for an example, in Surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned when a person is in his last stage, breathing his last, make sure that he has bequested and he has given his wasiyah, and for his wasiyah it is good to have two witnesses. There Allah does not mention any gender. In Surah Talaq, it is mentioned that if you are going to leave a lady and give talaq to her, then it is better to have witnesses. Again, the gender is not mentioned. It is only in certain matters in Islam. This is what we need to understand. And also when it comes to the rights of others, which is huquq, where it is very, very important that the rights must be given to the external party. Make sure that whatever the right is, that should be given. In the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that one man or two women or two men, that is the option. It does not mean that rights are not given to women. It does not mean that a woman, whatever she wants to do, she needs to find someone as a witness. And the greatest proof of that is, that the most noble profession is to impart knowledge, And you will find that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has narrated hadith which is more than 2,000 in total. How many? 2,000. And she is a woman, she is a lady. You will never find that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when it came to narrating a hadith where she said, I have heard this from my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but I can't transmit this hadith because I need another witness. Wait, let me go call my sister Asma. Asma, you come here and you listen to me and let us two be witnesses of what I am saying. Only then it is accepted. That is never the case. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at her free will, whenever she wanted, mashallah, she would transmit the hadith. So this is dalil that a woman, even in the courts, if the judge feels that what she is saying, she is sound in her mind and mashallah, she is a strong witness, then the judge, Islam, Muslim judge will accept that. The Muslim judge will accept that. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in certain fiqhi matters, of course the ruling is there, that there has to be two women and only one man. Why? What is the reason? Well, the first answer is, we don't need to give you a reason. What is the first answer? We don't need to give you a reason. Why should we give you a reason? We don't need to give nobody a reason. We love Allah, and that is the order of Allah. If Allah says bring 100 ladies, we accept that 100 ladies. We don't need to give you a reason. So understand, from the iman point of view, we don't need to explain to anyone. We are very proud of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because Allah is our Khaliq. And Allah knows every human being. Allah has created insan. Allah has created men, folks, women, everyone. And in Islam, of course, we are told that the men and women are different in their creation. And you have to accept that. But in their taqwa, in their Islam, in their spirituality, there is no difference. Sometimes a lady can excel much faster than even a man. That Allah has kept the doors open. But a woman, in her anatomy, in her physical sense of how Allah has created her emotionally, she is different. And that is the beauty of this beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to accept this. Now, so why is it that sometimes in some matters you need two women and one man as a witness? Alhamdulillah, now it becomes even easy for us to understand. And these are doctors that have told us, and in fact I've even written down some to show that everything is authentic, the source. But I don't need to actually quote everything. But if somebody wants to see, it is there. This is what the doctors tell us now. This is what research tells us now. That a woman, every month, she goes through this psychological strain. Every month, during her monthly cycle. What is it? During her monthly cycle. And the scholars have mentioned, and that change is from abdominal pain, to mood swings, to lack of concentration. Maybe the men folks here have not noticed or might have noticed. Some of you might have noticed, some of you might not have noticed. And so much so, some of the doctors have even said that sometimes there can be a loss of memory for a short period of time. Each woman is quite different in how Allah has created her. And this is a fact, that when a lady is in that time where she does not need to perform her salah, then you guys have to be very careful. We all have to be careful. If you want something, then the timing must be right. What is it? The timing must be right. And some ladies even go as far as saying that, Maulana Sahib, you know, sometimes when it is time that I don't need to perform my salah, I get so angry on my husband. I get so angry on my husband and I get angry on my children. I try not to, but I can't control. And I'm always angry. Always angry. And this is the difference. This is the difference. And especially if a lady is also expecting, antenatal, postnatal depression is something which is very, very common nowadays. In fact, there are physical changes in a lady after giving birth. We don't want to go into all that. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us is nothing but haqq. Because He has created Hazrat Hawa. He has created Hazrat Hawa. And it is Allah who creates humanity and human beings inside the stomach. And Allah knows that deficiency sometimes that is there. But it does not mean that the women folks are inferior. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for the comfort and for the ease of the lady, sometimes if a lady is only one as a witness, it might be difficult for her. She might be pressured into saying something. So for her own comfort, Sharia has made it very easy. Allah has made it easy for the women folks. If you see in Islam, everything is easy. Instead of having one witness herself to be there, just to have another companion. Just to have another companion. That is it. That is why a lady is given a choice. That if she wants to come to the masjid to perform salah, she can do so. If she wants to come, she can do so. In Masjid-e-Nabwi, Masjidul Haram, you see all of the masajid. You go in the Middle East, mashallah, you have facilities for men, you have facilities for women. Women can go and perform salah. But with that, Shariat has also given them comfort. Allah is saying to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you come to the masjid or if you pray your salah at home, the reward is equal. Same reward. It's not that the men folks, in fact, if your men folks are performing salat with jama'at, then that reward is extended to the women at home. If a man goes for salatul janaza and he is performing janaza, then that thawab is given to the ladies. If a person is doing atiqaf in the masjid, then the thawab of atiqaf is also given to the women folks. So much ease, so much comfort is given to the women folks. Allahu. In fact, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi in his khutubat has also written that if a lady is maintaining and looking after the house, so she is sweeping, she's got the vacuum, cleaning the house, subhanallah, cooking food, all that will be thawab-e jariya for her. All that thawab-e jariya for her. In fact, for a lady to enter Jannah, it is so easy. It is difficult for the men folks. It is difficult for the men folks, but easy for a lady. Why? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if a lady performs her salah 5 times a day, and the husband says that I am very happy with you, you are the best partner that Allah has given me, I am happy with you, I am pleased with you, Allah is pleased with her and for her is Jannah. How beautiful is that? So much comfort is given to the lady that the men folks have to perform salah all the time. All the time. Hame to koi maaf nahi hai na namaz. Hai kisi ko? Nahi hai. But the ladies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them ease and comfort. But we say na ke ye pagal dunya mein hum rehte hain. Is pagal dunya mein hum rehte hain. That the natural becomes unnatural and the unnatural becomes natural. And there are certain words that shaitan will devise. Certain words. And so for an example, he will put in front of a lady that this is your right, women's rights. Women's rights. And you have to be equal like a man. So don't take the comfort, the concession that is given to you. And so what is expected in this modern world? What is expected in this modern world? That like how the men folks work, this lady also needs to work. And then when she comes back at home, she also needs to look after the children, she needs to cook, etc. Everything has to be done. But khair, the mas'ala is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said 2 witnesses for women and 1 for a man, because generally when it comes to buying, selling, business transaction, the men folks are the people who do this and they are well aware of this situation. But for the women it can be difficult, and especially if it is that day or that timing of the month, it might be difficult for her. It could be that she is expecting a child. It could be that she is in that time where things are very difficult. So she goes through this psychological strain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made life very easy for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, you can also have another friend, a woman who you are comfortable with, and both of you can be a witness to this. And both of you can be a witness to this. And so understand, my respected brothers, if somebody says to you that why 2 women and 1 man, there is a reason. And in fact, this is only in certain key areas. In certain key areas. It's not something that is a generalization that every way you need 2 women. Like I said to you, one of the beautiful examples to remember is Hazrat Aisha. It is said that خُذُوا نِصْفِ دِينِكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْحُمَيْرَةِ. It was said that take half of your religion from this fair lady. Take half of your religion from this fair lady. And who is this fair lady? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. More than 2,000 ahadith she narrated. Nobody ever said that, oh, you know, you need a witness, or the Quran says this. No, no. This is, the Quran only speaks in Suratul Baqarah for a reason. And then another mas'ala that we need to remember, sometimes you will find that they will say that Islam does not give rights to women, because when it comes to inheritance, two portions are given to the men and one portion is given to the women folks. One portion to the lady and two portions to the man. And so Islam is not fair. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Now this is also mentioned in Suratun Nisa. Suratun Nisa. يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. Now before we go into understanding this, let us look at the backdrop of this incident, the incident that occurred, the backdrop of this ayat, the verse that was revealed to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. During the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, women could never inherit. In Arabia, women could never inherit. In fact, they were taken as a commodity. And if a man took on a loan from someone, then that person would say, okay, if I give you a loan, and if you can't pay it on time, what guarantee? Then he would say, then you can take my wife. What would he say? You can take my wife. And he would say, you can take my daughter. Or you can take my sister. That was the time of Jahiliyyah. A woman could never ever inherit. She was not part of the inheritance. In fact, she was like a commodity. And a woman was actually distributed, like how inheritance is given to individuals, she was also part of that distribution. And so, what had happened is that in Arabia, only if you knew how to use weapons and if you could fight, only then you had the right to inherit. And that was the men folks only. So even if you were a man, but you didn't know how to use a weapon, or you could not fight, or there is no proof that you've been fighting anyway to protect your tribe or your family, then you would be deprived also with the women folks. So ladies were given nothing at any time. They were never given anything. Now during the battle of Uhud, the wife of Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Rabi radiyallahu ta'ala an, she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with two daughters. And she came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the battle of Uhud. She is the widow of Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Rabi. And she said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, these are my two daughters. I am the wife of a shaheed, Sa'ad ibn Rabi, who became shaheed, who was martyred in the battle of Uhud. The father was a rich man, a man who had properties. The uncles have taken everything. The uncles have taken everything. Now these things also happen nowadays, especially in India. In India things happen that family members will take the land, especially nowadays because the land is very expensive. And so they will take the land and they say, no, this belongs to us, this belongs to us. This is haram and guna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Inheritance is a very serious mas'ala and a very serious ruling that you can't deprive anyone. Even if he is in Australia or in another part of the world, if he is the heir, then he has to be given that portion. And so she said, the uncles have taken everything. Who will marry my daughters? How can I look after my daughter? What will happen to my daughters? Now in Jahiliyyah, nothing was given to them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this lady that, wait, inshaAllah, I will give a judgment in accordance to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will wait for wahi, revelation to come. I will wait for revelation to come and then we will decide. She said, fine. And then this very difficult ayat of the Quran was revealed. And for the Huffaz, it is said that this ayat is the most difficult in Surah An-Nisa. يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that two shares are given to the men folks and one share given to the lady. That is in the Quran. But remember that inheritance is a very complex issue. In some circumstances, a lady will get a greater share than the men folks also. She will get more than the men folks that are there. But for an example, in this scenario, where the father passed away, and the father passed away and he has left two daughters, no other sons, only two daughters, then the two daughters, both of them will get two-thirds of the father's share. Two-thirds of the father's share. If the father left only one daughter, then it would have been half. It would have been half in this. And so, Sharia has explained inheritance, subhanallah, in a very beautiful way. And so this is something that we also need to learn. Now the question is, why two portion for the men folks and one portion for the lady? Again, I always say, when we have group visits, I say that in Islam, we treat ladies like a queen. How do we treat women like? A queen. She's like a queen. Can you touch the back of Queen Elizabeth? Can you do that? Can you just touch the queen anytime you want? You can't. You'll be prosecuted if you touch the queen just like that. It is a fact. You need to take authorization and permission. Am I right, Shabir bhai? There was a lady, when the queen went to visit her it was a fish and chip shop rather, and I read this in the newspaper article, and she was not authorized just to shake hands, but not to put her hands around the queen. And what she did is that she put the hands around the queen. And this was photographed. And so we're then deciding that should we prosecute this lady or not? Should we prosecute this lady because this was not authorized? You can't just touch the queen, can you? You can't just touch the queen. In fact, when Prince Charles came here, we had to, you know, there were certain people who can only meet him that were there. And so in Islam, a woman is like a queen. How is she treated? A woman is so independent that in Jahiliyyah nothing was given to her. But in Islam, a portion is given to her as a gift. And that gift is her own gift. She does not require to spend this gift on anyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the burden upon the closest male member to her. And so for an example, if somebody passes away and there is 50,000 pounds to be distributed, and so 50,000 pounds is given to the man, and the lady will have 25,000 pounds. Now the lady might think that I've only got 25,000 and my brother got 50,000 and I only got 25,000. But in Sharia, in a way, you got more than your brother. Because your brother will have the duty to look after the mother, the wife, the daughters, the sisters, including even that sister who got 25,000 pounds. To educate her, to make sure clothes are given to her, to look after her, to fulfill all the needs of the family. Because that responsibility comes upon the husband, or the father, or the son, or the brother. That is why Allah has given double share to the men folks and one portion to the lady. But in a way, that double share is also a responsibility. That double share is also a responsibility. If you were to pay school fees, how much is your school fees now also? For an example, if you went to a private school, a lot of money to educate. To get somebody married, you need money. So to look after the family, this costs money. And so that is why Allah has given an extra amount to the men folks and less to the women. Why? Because that woman in her own right, that is her money. So much so that if a lady gets married and she is a wealthy woman, imagine if she comes with so much gold and she gets married to you, and you have to take out zakat. You have to take out zakat. How will you take out zakat? Well, the answer to that is you simply say to her, that is your gold, you take it out. What do you say? That is your goal. You came with this so much gold from your father. Your father is, mashallah, a tycoon. I'm not. So let your father and let you pay for the gold. You give the zakat, not me. But khair, if she came with wealth, she is not even required to give that money to the husband. That is her money. But however, if she is going to help the husband who is in need, and mashallah, to help the husband financially, that is very, very good. That is very, very good. And she should support. Both of them should support one another. But Sharia has given the lady so much rights. And so that is why we need to understand. Generally in the Quran you will find women's rights, and these are the two things that come up. Why two witnesses with one man? And why is it double portion given to the lady and one portion given to the two portions given to the men and one portion given to the lady? Alake, Islam has given rights to women long before the Western world has ever given rights. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman had the right towards ownership. In fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was working and was employed by a lady, Khadija. Hazrat Khadija. She was a lady who was doing tijarat. That freedom was there. She could own properties. She can earn. And she can also be educated. She can also be educated. And when were the rights of women given? Inshallah, very, very quickly. When I was looking at this, it is said that in 1772, a lady whose name is Mary Wollstonecraft, she wrote a book, A Vindication of the Rights of Women. And in England, she fought for the rights of women. And in that book, she was saying that women must be given the same treatment as men when it comes to education, opportunities, and politics. And this was in 1772. It was not until 1850 that in England, women were even considered as citizens. In 1850. It was not until 1882 that they didn't even have independent rights. And they were only allowed to vote in 1918. Allowed to vote in 1918. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as education goes, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a father gives education to the daughter, even if it is one daughter, and someone says, O Nabi of Allah, two daughters, even two daughters, even three daughters, and he gives the daughter's education, then that person, that father will be with me in Jannah like this. Look at the rights that Allah has given to women. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that father will be like this with me in Jannah. So much so that in Jahiliyyah, if a baby girl was born, they would bury her alive. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he abolish this system, but even if someone was to frown at the birth of a baby girl, this is considered as a sin in Islam. If a baby girl is born, this is, and somebody says, oh, does this, this is guna. Barakah. The doors of barakah open up when Allah blesses you with a daughter. And mashallah, you will see this. When Allah gives you daughters, Allah gives you a lot of rizq also. And so daughters are a great blessing. What are they? Daughters are a great blessing. But we are living in a time now, my respected brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that person who has changed his religion and is worshipping a new god? Allah Pak is saying, worshipping a new god. And so, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that person who has taken his desire, his shahwat as God? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is about hedonism. Hedonism is about pleasure-seeking philosophy. Pleasure-seeking philosophy. And when a person gets into this disease of pleasure-seeking elements and pleasure seeking attitude, then Allahu Akbar, he will never see anything that is right. Even good morals and good values, he will make it upside down and he will not accept. Why? Because Allah is saying now he has taken his carnal desire as his God. So the brain and the heart does not register and it will not tell him that this is bad. This is bad. And so the world that we live in, even the mothers and sisters that are listening, they should understand that alhamdulillah, Allah has given them great honor. Allah has given them great honor. Now what happens in the modern world that we live in? Very quickly, just a few points. Shaitan tricks a person. And how does he trick? He removes every kind of barrier from a woman. So what is his aim in the modern world? To remove every kind of barrier from a woman, to get close to a lady. Because the biggest fitna for a man is a woman. He is tested. Two things: wealth, money, and women. Very powerful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And so what shaitan does is, number one, he removes the clothes. What does he do? Removes the clothes. So for an example, if sister Aisha is wearing a scarf, and if she's wearing an abaya, and somebody looks at her, they might think, bichari, she's deprived from her rights. Maybe the husband is forcing her. Maybe Mauli Saab has, you know, twisted the mind, indoctrinated the mind, this and that. Maybe the locality, maybe the father is an extremist, maybe this and that. So now this, what did I say the name was? Sister Aisha. So now Sister Aisha takes her scarf off and shows her beauty, the hairstyle. Now she wears a tight t-shirt and a tight jeans, revealing the shape and the contours of her body. Then this is a lady who knows her rights. This is a lady who knows her rights. So the first objective of a shaitan, of the shaitan in society, is to remove the clothes of women. Have you noticed that when men are in sports, the shorts they wear. So if you see a man who is doing gymnastics or in anything, you'll find that the shorts are quite loose. What are they? But when it comes to the design for women's, what is it? It's very, very body tight. What is it? Even the designing, if you look at anything, the bikini, for an example, you know, if it reveals all your body, that means, you know, very modern lady. This lady knows her rights. This is what shaitan does. Remove the clothes. Number two, after removing the clothes, remove segregation. Remove. A time will come possibly when there might be laws that are implemented that we don't allow men to perform salah separated from the women, and this segregation is against, it could be British what? Values. It could be British values. Example. It's against British values. And so Imam Sahib, we are sorry, you know, this partition that you put, this is against British values. Women have rights. So women have to stand shoulder to shoulder, and this already has started. Am I right or am I wrong? This already has started where a woman is the imam, men, women are praying salah together. That is considered, mashallah, you see, women are given rights. Women are given. So the first thing you remove is what? The clothes. The second thing you remove is segregation. And then the third thing what you do is get them out of their houses. What is it? Get them out of the houses. What are you doing in your homes? You've got equal opportunities, equal rights. Work. What is it? And so, get them out of the houses. Then, if a lady is a lady who has got children, and she is a mother, then what is she to do? They say, don't worry, we will give you extra money, let babysitters look after your children. So the children are being nurtured and they are growing up, deprived from that love of the biological mother. And nobody can take the place of that biological mother. Subhanallah. Ma hoti. How the mother will lift the child, it's very different. And then, these are only a few points that I have written. The above, all of these things, what do they do? What do they result in? They open the doors of zina. What do? They open the doors of... How do they open the doors of zina? So now you get, in the modern world, high divorce rates. What is it? A lady got married 3 weeks, 4 weeks, divorce, talak. High divorce rate. High rate of single parents. Ladies that are single. High. Single mothers, so many. And then more children are born out of wedlock. They don't even know who the father is. I met one lady, she embraced Islam, mashallah. She had 5 children. How many? 5 children. I said to her, sister, mashallah, you have 5 children. Who is the father? And she said, and she gave 5 different names. And with great pride. John, Harry, Tom, maybe all these names, you know. 5 different fathers. I said, what? Subhanallah. And so, what happens, and then at the same time, the rate of depression, high rate of depression. You'll see so many women that are depressed. High rate of alcohol consumption because of all this. And then high rate of STD, sexual transmitted diseases. This is something that you see. Who teaches you morals in the modern world? If you go outside in the streets, you've got drug culture, alcohol culture, gambling culture, promiscuous culture. When you come home, who is teaching you adab? Nobody. You sit in front of the TV, sex and violence. What are the 2 things that are shown to you in TV? Sex and violence. Even the games that the children are playing, 11, 12 year old, are full of swear words. Full of swear words. And so we are the good morals. Allahu Akbar. We are living in times in which if we don't value Islam, and if we feel that there is something out there for us and nothing in Islam, then we are shaking hands with shaitan. What are we doing? Shaking hands with shaitan. We have to be proud citizens of this country also, but at the same time, we should be proud citizens of Islam and that we are Muslims and we shall follow Islam. We shall follow Islam. Because our greatest duty is to safeguard our iman and the iman of our children. And so that is why I said that rights are given to everyone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqsitu. If a doctor says to someone that, you know what, with your eye be very careful, it's a very sensitive area, but with your nails it's okay, you know, you can use a scissor to cut your nails or use the nail cutter. Does it mean that the eyes have no value and the nails have a greater value? No. It means that the eyes are very sensitive. You have to look after the eyes as compared to the nails. So Allah has given some examples at times for the women folks and for the men folks because of honor that is given to the women, that they are a very beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have to be looked after. I always give an example. When a group comes, they say, you know, Imam, why do women wear a face veil and why do they wear an abaya? So I say to them, one of the teachers, have you got a mobile phone? And they say, yeah. I say, take out your mobile phone. And the mobile phone is given here. I say, what is this covering that you give on the mobile phone? This is the abaya. What is it? This is the abaya. And this is the face veil. Well, you haven't put it in this. You're quite modern, eh? Mashallah. Not bad. But generally, what will you put? A glass screen. You'll find. So, to give it protection. Because it's a curve, I suppose. Whose is this? Yes, it's this here. And so, the screen protector. Imagine, when it comes to something that you value of this dunya, your iPad, you will cover it. In case it falls. And you will, even if you buy it, and if you take it out from the box, you won't use it until you buy the cover. So that it is protected. In Islam, we are taught to protect our women folks, to give them the honor. She is not required to work at all. When she is young, The father has to look after her education, to feed her. Everything is with the father. And then it is the father's duty to find the right person for her to marry. There is no forced marriage in Islam. A lady can choose, provided that person is decent. That person is, there is no force in Islam. And if that person is a good, decent Muslim, then it is the duty of the parents to facilitate what the lady wants, so the nikah can be performed. And then a duty is exchanged when the imam is sitting there and he is reading the verses of the Quran. And he says, Ya ayyuhan nas uttaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu uttaqullah. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. And then he says, An-nikahu min sunnati. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Everybody is sitting. The father is the wali that is sitting. The person is sitting there. Now the exchange takes place. What does it take place? The exchange. In front of a gathering, you are saying that Allah is a witness to this. This woman needs to be cared for. Look how beautiful Islam is. And then the imam will say, how much bridal gift, mahar, are you giving? And he will give a gift to the lady. And this is the exchange. This is a reminder to him. Now the duty is not for the father. Now the duty goes to the husband, has to look after the wife all the way until death. And on top of that, even before the nikah, clarification. Is he prepared? Did he give a gift? Did he give a gift? So that he understands now that I have to look. I'm not a single person. I have to look after this lady. And then when this lady becomes weak and old, the husband is going to look after the wife. But then if Allah has blessed her with children, then the children have to stand shoulder to shoulder with the mother, the right side and the left side, and they help and they assist the mother. Whatever the mother wants, labbaik. Whatever the mother wants, labbaik. And this is when barakat comes. And also look after your parents, look after your mother, and look after your father. Wallahi, nobody takes the position of your mother and father. Your mother and father are your dua, your gates to Jannah. Sit with your mother and sit with your father. Just because you get married and you have a wife and she says, oh, I love you, baby. Well, this baby was looked after by this mother when he was a baby. He's not a baby anymore, is he? Wo kya baby keh diya to maa hi ko bhul gaye? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I'm not saying anything is wrong. Love your wife, mashallah. There's nothing wrong. Your wife has a right. Go out, go for dinner, go out, go for walks, hold hands. Of course, Islam gives you all the rights. We are not a backward society. The more you love your wife, you're a muttaqi person. But the greatest love is for Allah and His Rasul, mother and father. And then everything is distributed. And then everything is distributed. Maine baat aapke saamne rakhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we understand. Just 1 minute, inshallah, muraqabah. Inshallah, if we close our eyes and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes difficult for the shaitan to trespass and to enter wasawis into the heart. And so think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the zikr of Allah. This will block shaitan. Thank you.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.